You are listening to Grandpa Lampshade.
My, would you just look at this crowd? Glad to have you all here for the one and only Church Lampshade Show on the one and only Radio Albion Network. And glad you could join us this week. We've got a whole lot we're going to cover. I think we're going to have a fun Christian-specific topic a little later on in the show. Everybody looks forward to that. At least you should. I think you should. Lots of things to discuss leading up to that. And it's going to be, no doubt, an action-packed show. Action-packed show this week. Glad you could join us. A week flies by. I'm sitting here. I record these usually over the weekend and usually on Saturday. This week is no exception. And this week is I'm recording it on Saturday. So guess what? It is July 4th. That's right. My freedoms, my independence, America. I'm sitting here. And I put this up on at Gabschwitz the other day. And I couldn't help but laugh the other morning. I'm watching the local narrative, local news, and the presenter there, she says, it's difficult to celebrate our freedoms this year in the middle of the corona pandemic, or what, just paraphrasing, but basically, it's difficult to celebrate our freedoms this year due to the pandemic. And I'm thinking that's more true than you realize. Our freedoms, put a mask on. And then it got even better. I thought that was lulzy, but at the end of the whole segment, and they're getting ready to go to commercial break, and as they're heading out to commercial, she says, coming up, how to report your neighbors for using illegal fireworks. I'm saying, yes, my freedoms, America. Soaking up all these freedoms. Thank goodness we had the freedom to be required to wear a mask. We'll get into that here just a little bit because there's no avoiding it. We just, like last week's show, COVID and commies. It's very difficult to avoid the topic. We're going to get into some of that here in just a little bit because there is some new developments, at least here in my area. And the one thing I want everybody to do is be sure and keep a perspective. These things are all working together. It's part of a bigger plan. It's all working in conjunction. It's one of my favorite sayings goes, there's no such thing as coincidence. Only plans other people make that they don't tell you about. We always like to start off thanking our supporters, financially supporting the show. Show depends on voluntary financial support. No Google ads for you and no hiding behind a paywall. It's all voluntary, and we've got volunteers coming out of the woodwork this week. Well, we have 9. For us, that's coming out of the woodwork. 9 supporters this week, including 1 Bitcoin Anon coming through once again, and do very much appreciate that week in, week out there, Bitcoin Anon. And as always, when we have the opportunity to read notes from our financial supporters, we like to do that. It's one of the fun parts for me. So, let's get on into our listener supporter mailbag. Because, like I said, we got a lot to cover this week, so we don't want to be lollygagging around. This is from Tony. Wanted to let you know that in the future, my gift amounts will be a little less for a while. I retired, trying to find a good part-time job. I'll be living on my pension till then. It's enough to pay my bills, but it's not near what I was making working. I didn't want you to think I was angry with you, since I was giving less. I like not having to go out into clown world much now, but I would like to make a little extra money for myself as well as helping others. Anyway, may Yahweh bless you and yours. That's from Tony. And no, I pretty much generally see the same names come through here on the supporters, and I'm very humbled. And there's a reason that we do this the way we do. I mean, it's different amounts. You know, some people send just a few bucks, some people send a few more. But we try to treat it all, I try to treat it all equally here. You know, I'm always reminded of the story in the scripture where Jesus and his boys were hanging out, you know, and they were watching people, you know, toss the offerings in at the church as they came in, you know, and the woman, the widow that came in and gave but two copper coins, and he says that she gave the most of all. You know, so that's why, you know, one of the reasons why we treat it equally. Some people give, you know, what I consider quite a bit. I mean, you know, and some people send just a few dollars, but everybody is making that effort, and it's equally appreciated, because it's always in my mind that it's money y'all could have spent on something else. And I always tell everybody, hey, take care of yourself, take care of your family first. I mean, your support you can give me, it's very much appreciated, but you know, I don't expect anybody to make their family do without or not pay their bills so they can support what we do here. But everything that is given is very much appreciated. Next up from Andy, fantastic show as always, Grandpa. Always look forward to every week. And so do I. Look forward to sitting around discussing these things with you. It's just like our own little congregation, our own little family here. You're not alone. We're all here in this together. Even though we gather here at Radio Albion to listen to these things, talk about these things. You know, it's still, it's a reminder. It's a fellowship of sorts. I think of it that way. I really do. I think it's something, I think it's something very special. Next up, Mr. T, GPL. Hope all is well. I remember years ago when I was complaining to an older gent about a wrong that had been done to me, and he told me something profound. He said, Jesus was pure and innocent, and you know what people did? They told lies about him, tortured, and murdered him. If people will do that to Jesus, imagine what they will do to you. That has really stuck with me from Mr. T, and it's absolutely right. If you look, it's the same playbook, isn't it? They always twist things around, twist your words around. They twist everything around to try to persecute you. It's profound that after all of these thousands of years, it's essentially the same playbook. They use the same little playbook. They use the same tactics. Use the government to do the dirty work for them when they can. You know, smear, lies, take your words out of context. Try to make you, paint you as something that you're absolutely not. You know, in order to try to gain power for themselves, but ultimately to do the work of their father, the devil. Next. Next up from Red Pilled in Vienna. Thank you once again for all your work and sacrifices. I'm sure it's not going unnoticed where it matters the most, brother. Also ask you to send Sven Longshanks warmest regards and a little financial support as well. And yes, I will take care of that. Don't worry about that. We very much appreciate it. And we very much appreciate the work that the network does. The show, it wouldn't exist if we didn't have the network here. Well, I mean, I guess it could exist, but I would be like out here on some, you know, just independent platform somewhere, and you'd have to find it. It would be a huge hassle. And Sven puts in a whole lot of work, you know, just keeping it going, just keeping the network going. And folks think to support the content providers because you listen to the content providers and it's like, you know, oh, I love Grandpa Lampshade. Oh, I love listening to Dr. Johnson and such. But who gives thought to the infrastructure, you know, to the fact that, well, because the network is here, I'm able to listen to these shows that I like. And like I say, he just puts in a whole lot of work. And it's thankless work, you know, it really is. And you know, we here at the show, we really do appreciate it. And yes, I'll take care of that. I'll pass along the love to Sven and the network. Next up from Jim, a.k.a. known around here at my home as Sticker Guy. put these up where whites congregate. Shopping carts, vending machines, restrooms, doors, etc. If you're wondering, yes, they're Jew-woke stickers. Imagine going to the supermarket in your town. I would expect to see these about. So always sends those along. Pretty cool. Pretty cool idea. Pretty original idea. Support coming in from Rock Dad. Very much appreciated, Rock Dad. Also Bill paying monthly tithes. Thank you very much as always. Do appreciate it. Makes more difference than, you know, it's a collective thing. I put all of these together. It's And it adds up. And it adds up to me being able to pay bills this week. This from Patty. Grandpa Lampshade tithes arriving through Bitcoin. I got into a Facebook row with a local vicar over his mail shot supporting BLM and St. George Floyd. I mentioned priests and nuns being nailed to church doors during various revolutions and enjoyed sending him an article about tearing down church windows. The revolution always eats its own. And this is so true. You know, it amazes me, these people who will run around and do this, and it's like all they're doing is putting off the inevitable. They're putting off that it's like, I'll be eaten last. You know, it's like worth it that they will be, but they will come for them. You know, these things always wind up, these communist things always, the purges never end, I guess is what I want to say. The purges never end. I mean, sure, they start off with the people who are poking them with a stick and pointing out, you know, their lies and calling them out for what they are. And who honestly, like what we've done over the years past, you know, troll them and make them look stupid for everybody to see. You know, they purge those people. They purge people like us first. But eventually, I mean, the purges never end because they purge us first. Then they move on to what? The normie people, more of the normie people. But then they're also looking for purity within their own ranks. And they're always looking for the opportunity to chop down one of their own. These people, they're destroyers. They don't build anything. All they know how to do is destroy, to tear down, whether it's a society or other people. And in fact, other people probably makes them feel a little better, makes them feel powerful. It doesn't matter when those other people are is somebody who happens to be, you know, quote unquote, supporting them or a part of their own ranks or whatever. Just a few weeks before, when they get the opportunity to tear somebody down, to attack somebody, to point at somebody and shriek and say, witch, oh, I'm sorry, racist. They're all too anxious to jump on it. Because they're destroyers. They don't know anything else. You have to remember they hate themselves. So when it comes down to it, they really do. They hate themselves. They hate their lives. They don't like a lot of things about themselves. There's just so much going on here. And they always get around to purging themselves. And the cucks that run around and grovel and kneel. And these people running out there kneeling and groveling. And they will come for them. You know? I mean, in fact, they will come sooner for them than they realize. Why? Because they show weakness. They show weakness. They're obviously an easy target. So they're usually quite much quicker than they imagine brought up on the purge list. It's like when you see you know, how many times we watch these things play out, and we watched them play out among our own, and we've watched them now. We watch them more and more often play out among the normie population. Now we're seeing it play out even among their own ranks. And it's amazing because you see the same patterns and you see these people that apparently have been living in a vacuum. They haven't watched. I guess they've been willfully ignorant or gleeful or felt like people deserved it when this happened to other people. So as a result, they didn't even bother studying what was happening or figuring out what was happening. And you see them blunder out there and like issue apologies. And it's always like it just pours gas on the fire. Yeah, you know, they come out and I publicly apologize for my insensitive comments I made without taking into account the depth of the issue, blah, blah, blah. And it is just like the sharks smell blood in the water, don't they? It's like, have you been paying no attention? Obviously not. Obviously, they haven't been paying attention and care. It was happening to somebody else. I figured it wouldn't happen to me. I'm a good thinker. I'm just, I support the cause. And because they're so unaware when the cause comes for them, and it inevitably does, then they sit there and blunder off and like do the worst thing you can do. The worst thing you can do, try to make it go away. I apologize. I promise to be a good thinker from now on. And they think that they'll say, well, okay, as long as you're sorry, you know, but they just look at this as an admission. You know, some I've seen some people say, you know, they take your apology as an admission of guilt. And while that is true, I think what is more significant is they take your apology as a sign of weakness. As a sign of weakness. This sucker's weak. Now let's go get him. You know, as a compassionate person, which you know, many of us are, you know, when you see the weak, you have compassion on them because you're weak. But your enemies, these people do not. They see it as an opportunity to an easy target, somebody more easy to rip to shreds, to rip apart. And they do. They see weakness and it won't be met with compassion. Weakness is not met with compassion because it reminds them of their own weakness, which they hate, which is a part of what they hate about themselves. And so they rip it apart. They attack that thing which they hate. And you see it play out time and time again. Anyway, yeah, that's it for our listener supporter mailbag this week. As always, very much appreciated, and I'll encourage you to be a part of it. It's down at the bottom of the description page. We've got snail mail. We've got Bitcoin. If you've got some other janky cryptocurrency, OMG or something, I don't care. Hey, yeah, I got email address down there. Drop me an email. I'll try my best to get you an address for that. It is, like I say, very much appreciated. I put it all together. I'm not expecting a lot. Put it all together and it adds up. And yeah, helps make my world go round. So yeah, like I said, we did last week's show. I called it COVID and Commies. And you know, I guess this is like, you know, COVID and Commies 2.0. But it's good. This is the same show, Lampshade. We're tired of hearing this topic. Well, I'm tired of talking about it, but it's unavoidable. It's like if you're riding on an airplane. Imagine you're flying on an airplane. You're on a passenger jet, and you're flying. It's night, and then you're flying through a thunderstorm. All of a sudden, lightning strikes one of the engines, and that sumbitch is on fire, and there's flames coming out of this engine, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, look! Look, number four engine's on fire. And the pilot's up there. Everybody calm down. I'm doing what I can. We're going to make it to the nearest airport. And, you know, and the plane is rocking. And you're looking and the flames are still burning out there. And all this. And this goes on because it takes a little bit to get to the airport. It's like 10, 15 minutes. Feels like an eternity. 10, 15 minutes is going along. And you're sitting there and you're like the one guy. Like, man, I wish everybody would quit talking about the damn engine being on fire. Well, yeah, I mean. You might wish that, but that is going to be the topic of the day because that is the first and foremost thing, is the big happening. Nobody wants to talk about the Super Bowl this weekend. The engine's on fire. We may be dead. We may be a pile of ashes, vaporized it before this is all done. So, of course, that's what everybody's got to talk about. And it's just, there's, like I say, there's been some new developments here, and we're going to keep focusing on this because one of the worst things that I think people fall into, the trap people fall into, is viewing all of these happenings in a vacuum. And that's what most people are doing. Like I said last week, couldn't believe I continue to have, quote unquote, more normie type people, you know, start coming around and they're like, what the hell's going on? Like, look around, you know, ground, make sure nobody sees them talking to me. What the hell's going on? You should know. Why should I know, pray tell? Oh, yes, of course I should know, because I do know. And let me tell you what's up. No, but I can tell you, most people view this stuff in a vacuum. You know, when they see the commie riots in the streets, you know, they view that separate from the other things that are happening, but this is all happening together. It's all part of one big plan. And it's my belief that it's a plan that is organized and has been put together on a much larger scale simply than the wicked evildoers who are implementing it. It is much deeper than that. It is a satanic plan. I'll just say it. Kingdoms, principalities. This is this goes much deeper than you can imagine, is my belief. But no, you can't view these things in a vacuum. It's all happening, you know, it's all part of a larger plan. And it's a plan that has been implemented for decades. We just didn't see it. The conditioning has been put forth for decades. We just didn't see it. We didn't get it. I mean, there's a reason we're at where we're at now. And not, say, in the 1980s. You know, if they had implemented a mask order and you have to lock yourself up in your house and you have to wear a mask if you want to go out into public, say in 1983, the people would have burned this whole bitch down like overnight. Like you had like white people like driving tanker trucks to Washington, D.C. and lighting them bastards off. You know, there's a reason it's happening now and not then. It took decades of conditioning and we're seeing the conditioning accelerate. And now, you know, like looking recently at the Corona thing, you know, we had our first lockdown. They put countless businesses out of business, caused countless people to lose their jobs. They've watered down that outrage by giving out these stimulus checks and adding extra amounts to people's unemployment. So they're not outraged. Hell, people were drawing unemployment that were making more money than they were working. It's pretty hard to be pissed when like you don't have to work and you're making more money. You know, those people aren't going to be outraged and mad because there's no jobs, because they're doing pretty good staying at home. Throw in the Trump bucks and any other incentives and lo and behold, you've watered down the outrage, but the underlying facts remain the same. But you had all of this implemented and people were told you had to lock yourself in the house, and a lot of people did. People did, and this, and that. And then they gave it a little back. Okay, now you can go to the restaurant. Of course, you could always go to the corporate-owned stores. You could always go to Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, wherever the hell. The corporations aren't affected by Corona, you see. It's like a magic barrier there. If you go to a small business, you might die. But you can go to Walmart, Target, everything will be okay. One of the things, the aspects of this that I think has been missed by so many people is this is, just a huge push by the corporations to crush what little competition might be left out there, or to crush them under their foot. And, you know, where once again, more monopoly, more power for them, more strength for the oligarchy, as it were. But we got something back. They gave everybody a little back. Now you can maybe go to work. And you can come out of your house, you know, if things going to go back to normal. Of course, they were telling everybody you're going to have to be used to a new normal. But, everything could go back to some kind of a normal. You can go outside now, you know. Then you had the commie mob happening. And now, just this week, our governor here in Texas rolled out, yes, pun intended, rolled out mask requirements. You've got, you know, if you're in a county that has had 20 or more cases of COVID, you've got to mandatory mask, which, by the way, 20 cases of COVID is basically statewide. You've got to wear a mask. More obedience, huh? You know, now they come back with something more stringent, because requiring you to wear a mask to go buy something to eat is a more stringent thing than telling people they had to stay in their house. And I think that gets missed by a lot of people. You know, just being told, hey, you got to stay home, but you can go to Walmart and buy groceries. You know, that was stage one. Now you bring in something harsher. Now it's time to bring the stick back and whack people with that stick. If you want to go out in public, you have to wear a mask. You can't buy, sell, trade, or work if you don't have the sign of the... I'm sorry, if you don't wear a mask. It rhymes so much. It's so easy to get these things mixed up. This is a more harsh thing now, more conditioning to make you obey. But because you see, you obeyed on the whole lock yourself in your house and do as you're told there. Now we have to take it to the next step of obedience. So you're being trained. The people are being trained, and thus the society is being trained. You know, then you throw the commie mobs in the midst of that, and that makes everybody upset, and they see that, and they wonder what the hell's going on. It's more training for you. It's more obedience. And I know you're probably sitting there going, Lampshade, where are you going on about this? You talked about this same shit last week. Because I remain amazed at people's ability. Humans have incredible ability. And one aspect of that incredible ability is to deny unpleasant reality. You know, I see this in so many people. And I don't mean just like normal people going through their day-to-day life. Even people that are very politically aware, and yet these unpleasant realities, they're in denial of them to a certain extent. They will try. An extreme example of this is the Q people. You know who I'm talking about. The Q people, you know, the patriots are actually in charge, and this is all a part of Trump's 4D chess plan to take down the deep state, and we're going to see military tribunals for all of these people. And it doesn't matter that the reality that is facing us is not that. That is not what's happening. But yet they come up with this vast network of this huge complicated narrative to put a positive spin on it, which is nothing more than a denial of reality. Why? Because it's an unpleasant reality. I mean, you know, on the flip side of that coin, a pleasant reality, people believe anything. That's why people fall to scams all the time. You know, hello, my dear. I am your long lost I'm a lawyer for your long lost uncle in Nigeria. If you will send me $2,000, I can get your $10 million inheritance wired to you. I just need your bank information. Sounds stupid, but people fall for that kind of shit all the time. Why? Because it sounds so good, they're willing to believe it. Something that sounds too good to be true, they're all too willing to believe that it's true. Then again, the flip side, turn the coin back over on the other side. An unpleasant reality, they'll make up all sorts of complicated shit to deny what that is. It's not real. No, patriots are in charge. It looks dire now. But the deep state is going down. This is very dangerous. It's dangerous because you were looking at Bolshevik Revolution 2.0. And in this version of the Bolshevik Revolution, the government is a part of it. They are an active part of it because they're controlled by the same oligarchs. This is a shift. This is a shift. And I think what a lot of people miss is, look, this is an admission. This is an admission by those in power now that we've been saying for years now that the current order is going to collapse. We've been talking about this. Longtime listeners of this show, you know, we've been talking about this. The current order is collapsing. And this is an admission. This is a move by those who run and control and wield power now to remain in control when the system collapses. What this tells us is that the collapse is sooner than most people probably think because they're accelerating their efforts. You see, when the system collapses, it's got to be replaced by something. And guess what? Right now, the way things are being lined up, the only game in town is going to be what? This communism that they're bringing. Doesn't matter. People would rather be ruled by communism than live in anarchy. They will take whatever option is presented to them. And what you are seeing right now is an effort to present one option. When the current order finishes imploding on itself, and it's imploding right now very quickly, the people need to be conditioned. The people will be desperate. They will accept whatever authority because people have the need to be ruled over. People have the need to be ruled over. And the only game in town, I don't care if you talk to somebody and says, I hate communism. I'll never stand for this communism. If the only game in town is communism, they'll sign on for it. Don't listen to any of that. If they're given a choice of complete anarchy and nobody ruling over them, nobody in charge, or communism, they will sign up for the communism. They won't call it that, of course. They know better than to market it by that name. But they will sign on for it. They will justify it. They will make up a narrative that Q is in charge of this Bolshevik revolution, and it's all going to work out in our favor. It doesn't matter how they'll justify it somehow in their mind to deny the reality. But they will sign on with it. Make no mistake, because it'll be the only game in town. One thing that I find amazing, people on the dissident right, for lack of a better term, people very politically aware, on our side, and they will sit here and say, well, this is good. We need the communists to come to more power, to gain more power, to be able to do these things. Because you know what? If the communists get more power, the society collapses faster and the communists get more power. You know what that means? Ethnostate. And I'm sitting here looking at every time I see that and I'm like, okay, system collapsing. We know we're getting that. Communists getting more power. That's the move that's being made now. Ethnostate. Wait, I'm pretty sure some steps are missing here. Because if I remember correctly, Bolshevik Revolution 1.0 didn't equal ethnostate. It equaled Holodomor. And I mean, I'm while this is kind of a more modern version of a Bolshevik Revolution, it's still the same people, you know, fundamentally the same people pushing it. And I don't think they have ethnostate anywhere in the plan there. I think they have, you know, I think we have a better chance of Holodomor 2.0. And I really would like to skip that. I really would rather not do that. But we're way behind here because they have the power, they have the ability, they have the, you know, we can't even hardly get our ideas out there. We've been kicked off of every social media platform, but don't worry. It's not the government doing it. Yes, it is. It's the oligarchs doing it. And guess who controls the government? The oligarchs, the corporations, the millionaires. Do you know who? The politicians that support this, just that in their minds, they think they will wield more power. But even now, they wield no power except that which is given to them. They don't wield power. Nancy Pelosi don't do shit unless it's been approved by those who wield power over her. People focus on Normicons, focus on Nancy Pelosi. Look at that. She's an evil bitch. Sure she is. She doesn't do anything that hasn't been rubber stamped by those who run her. These are front men. These are middle management. These are people who normies focused in on these politicians because we keep electing these politicians. Well, somehow we keep winding up with the shittiest choices then, doesn't it? Because you've been voting and voting and voting and voting for years and we keep getting shittier and shittier and shittier choices. And the same result, we keep marching over the communist cliff. And the glorious thing about this system is when you complain about it, what do they tell you? It's your own fault. You're the one that voted for these people. Yeah, I didn't have much of a choice. I went to vote and I had, controlled puppet R or controlled puppet D to choose from. So basically, I went with the guy with the best hair. Got the same result. Keep getting the same damn result. This is a push by the oligarchs to remain in power. This is a push by the oligarchs to make sure that as this system collapses, they remain in power and they, in fact, even gain even more power. They damn sure don't want it being replaced by something else. We're behind the eight ball. And I don't mean the dissident right. I mean everybody in the country. We're told the democracy is our value, the will of the people. And nobody's getting a vote on any of this shit. Nobody got a vote on mask wearing, mandatory mask wearing. Nobody got a vote on let's tear down our statues. The people of Mississippi didn't just vote to get rid of their flag. That didn't go to the people. It was just decided by their Republican state Congress, the state legislature, whatever the hell you want to call them, and their Republican governor. Isn't it amazing? One of the things I find just amazing. You'll have these places, these cities, towns, states, whatever the hell, and their governments will go out there and take down the statues themselves and declare it like winning. You know, we didn't allow the commie mobs to tear down this statue that's been here for 100 years. We went and took it down ourselves so they couldn't do it. Ha! We won. You surrendered. You gave them what they wanted. They didn't even have to send out the troops. You just surrendered before it ever started. I said this up on Gabschwitz the other day. You know, one of the funniest, most ridiculous thing ever is hearing a Republican refer to the French as surrender monkeys, because that's all the Republican Party ever does is surrender. Surrender, we'll show you. You want to come and tear down our statue? We'll show you. We're moving cranes in to take that bastard down ourselves right now. Ha! Beat you to it. Winning. Vote for me. Oh, God. Speaking of which, there's runoff elections coming up, I guess, this month. So if you listen to the radio, all these political ads and they're political ads like with Republicans running against one another, you know, in a runoff election. And it's like somebody needs to tell these people 1998 called and they want their memes back. you know? Jim Johnson is a real conservative. He's been voted A-plus rating by the Right to Life Foundation for being against the abortion. And it's just the same freaking lame-ass, limp-dick talking points that they've been using for decades. The Republican Party thinks it's still the 90s and that you want to hear about, you know, their record, their rating by the NRA or their rating on abortion and gibberish about my conservative values, which are never actually defined for anybody. He's a real conservative. He's got our conservative values. Would you name some of them, please? I would like to know what some of these mythical conservative values are, because I don't see a lot here, at least at the political level. It always seems to equate to surrendering to the commies before they can force them to give, you know, to lose or whatever. Never takes a lot of effort. It's a tough road to hoe. Bolshevik 2.0. At least Bolshevik 1.0, the people could have, like, rose up and sided with the czar and pushed back. You know, in 2.0, the government itself is a part of, you know, a part of the revolution. And, you know, we have no real political movement to fall back on. You know, I mean, you look in Europe, Western Europe, and they have multiple parties, and yet they're still pretty much going down the same road as all the rest of us. This is real. It's real. You got to be real. Well, we're so far behind on any kind of, I don't know, political counter to this thing. But it's not all black pills. It's not all black pills because regular day-to-day people, and I hate using the term normie because it's such a derogatory term, and I don't have feelings, derogatory feelings towards these people. It's just people that go through their regular day-to-day life that want to be left alone. They're your friends, your family, your neighbors that don't care about politics because they just want to work. They just want to have a quiet life. They want to be left alone. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what makes the world go round. Those people make the world go around, make society go around. And too often people who are politically aware, they get frustrated with these people. And they do. You start slinging derogatory terms at them. But they can be unbelievably frustrating to deal with, sure. But they don't really deserve it. They mean well. But it's not all black pills, because more and more of these people are starting to really get it. They're starting to get, they don't know what to do. Hell, we've been at this for years. Let's be honest, we don't know what to do. I'm being honest, I lump myself in, I'm raising my hand, you can't see it. But I'm so animated when I do these shows, I'm constantly waving my hands around, making gestures, as if y'all could see that. How retarded is that? They don't know what to do. Hell, we don't know what to do. We know the causes. We know the sources. You know, we know what makes up the oligarchy. And we don't know what to do. Let's be honest. We don't know what to do. That's why we got people still out there spamming memes from 2015. You know, because it worked good then when we were doing that. Why isn't it working now? Well, because now we've moved to another phase. You know, that's not going to have the, you know, it's not going to be as successful as it was then, because, you know, the enemy has adjusted to that. Now they're doing other things. You can get up speed. You have to figure out some different tactics. Start doing some different things. The most effective things you can do, you better be knowing people in your community, people you work with, establishing some relationships. Because you're going to need all the support you can get. You're going to have people in your real life, like in your town, that you can have their back and they can have your back. Because troubling times are here. They're not just a coming. They're here. And it's only going to get worse. You're going to have to get over the idea that people have to agree with every single thing you say or every single thing you believe. Otherwise, can't have anything to do with them. Better get up speed. You're going to have to get a little more simple. If they're against the communist revolution, they're in. They can be an ally for you. Because maybe they can share some food with you. Maybe they can help you out when, yeah, you're not able to get a part, fix your car or something. Maybe they can hook you up. They can help you find a way. Dark time. It really is. It's time to move to some other ways of thinking. But regular day-to-day people are becoming aware of what's happening. They're still kind of in this very much confusion state. And they'll flail around a little bit and imagine that somebody's going to do something. You know, and somebody's going to, somebody's going to fix it. Somebody's going to ride in because it's a movie or something. The average American thinks life is a movie. And at the end, the good guys will always win. Somebody will ride in, save the day. Isn't the way it works? They're running around trying to figure it out. Hell, we're all trying to figure it out. But more and more normal people, and that means the masses, are starting to catch on that this is big. When you can explain to people, real people, day-to-day life, that this is a communist revolution, and I'm going to say, you do what you want to do, fam. I'm not your boss. I'm just giving you pointers of what works and what not, what doesn't work. If you're dealing with day-to-day people in your normal life, if you can point out to them that this is communism, this is a communist revolution, which it is, they're going to be much more receptive to that than if you start screaming to them about the Jews. It's more effective. Doesn't matter. Yes, yes, the Jews run Hollywood. Yes, yes, the Jews control so much of the media. We know this. I know this. Of course, you know this. But you run up to people, you start going on like this. People, they tune you out. Figure it out. We don't have time for this. We don't want to have time to rehash World War II for the umpteenth time. Not saying those, you know, yes, I know it's history, it's truth, so on and so forth. But look at where we're at. We're in the middle of a huge push by the communists. Don't need to have the umpteenth discussion of what constitutes white. And in our ethno state, we're going to have DNA tests. What percentage should be the breaking point? If I don't want to hear that shit ever, ever. I'm sick of it. We had a brief opportunity to get a political movement rolling. And instead, we had that discussion for the 6,000,000th time. And it ended exactly the same for the 6,000,000th time. Someday, when we create our ethno state, we're going to have DNA tests. Now we need to figure out, now is the time to stop everything and figure out what constitutes white. Meanwhile, the communist revolution is just rolling right along. But yeah, let's stop the train. To stop everything, stop any momentum we might have, and have this discussion again. I say things like this, and I know I'm quite aware that members of the audience probably lose financial support over it. It's a reality. But if we're not going to speak the truth on this show, what the hell's the point of doing it? I'm going to sit here and just say things you want to hear. I could sit here and do this show week in and week out and toss you red meat that you want to hear. It'd be easy. That's the easy setting. Tell people what they want to hear. I always think of Jesus, and you wind up with multitudes of people, and they're all like, yeah, wow, this guy's incredible. He just healed a blind person. Oh my gosh, he's saying these things where he never heard before. It's incredible. Next day, he gets up and tells them something that totally pisses them off, turns them off, and they're like, pew, and they're all gone. Thousands of people, 10,000 people were here yesterday. Next day, he tells them something they didn't want to hear. They're all gone. It's back to his 12 guys, and one of them's planning to stab him in the back. We seek truth here, and I always try to seek the truth, and I always try to speak the truth to y'all. Even though sometimes when I do that, it's gonna piss you off. Probably gonna get hate mail. No! We've got to do this again! It's gonna work this time. Oh yeah, Lampshade, what do you propose? I don't have all the answers. I just know where we're at. If I had all the brilliant answers, I would be implementing all the brilliant answers. We have ideas. We know, and I think focusing on positive ideas. I don't know. It may be too late. We may be way too far along in this game. And just like I'm too far along in the show, I'm looking at the clock. And this was kind of what I was planning to get to all along, is getting to specific ideas to talk to people about, to explain to people. And so I'm going to have to rush it, be kind of, you know, brief, because I've rambled on so long about these happenings. But we have to figure out a way for people to consider an alternative, because as we said earlier, given a choice between no rule anarchy and submitting to the communism, the people will submit to the communism regardless of what they say. Got to get people at least considering, well, why is this our only choice? Why can't we? You know, and that, I really think, comes down to ideas. You know, things such as, what about having a government where there is a clear-cut hierarchy? Like, if you go down to your local government office for housing, and the guy there, the agent you're dealing with, screws you over, who do you go to? Into the current system, you don't know. How about a system where you know who is in charge of that office, and so you go to them and say, he's friends with the agent, so he screws you over too. Well, who do you go to then? Now you have no idea. How about a structured system? Well, you know that the next guy in charge over that is the guy in charge of the district. Everybody knows his name. And on up and on up and on up. Where you have a system that is structured to where corruption is rooted out, because there's always somebody in charge all the way up to the top, to the leader of the nation. One of the things I hate, and everybody hates about this current system, is when there are corrupt middlemen that rule over us, the behest of the oligarchy. Whenever they get caught doing some sleazy shit, you know what they always do? They always say, well, I take full responsibility for this happening. And nothing happens to them. They don't get fired. You say something on Facebook that you're not supposed to, you lose your job. Some politician gets caught doing some corrupt shit to make millions of dollars at your expense, and they say they accept full responsibility, only nothing happens. There's no accountability. How about a system that there is accountability? You see, there's no accountability because all the people at the hearing, the fellow politicians, they're all doing the same shit. This guy was just dumb enough to get caught, so they're all going to sit there. And if they're from the opposing party, they'll bang the table and say, off with his head. And if they're from the same party, they'll say, we're outraged by what you've done, but, you know, we have to leave room for blah, blah, blah. It's all window dressing. In the end, nothing will happen. These people don't lose their job. They just make a little noise and it goes away. How about a system where that corruption is rooted out because somebody's actually in charge and somebody is actually held accountable? Actual ideas. But the idea that corporations shouldn't control the people's right to freedom of speech. How about that? How about the idea that corporations can't step all over your rights, that they don't have more rights than you do, more power than you do? How about that idea? How about that idea where government is actually accountable to the people instead of the banks, the media, Hollywood? You see, these are specific ideas that I think we need to, you know, really communicate with people, not just on the internet. I mean, that's fine. Obviously, I'm using this platform to talk about some of these ideas, but in real life, with people you interact with. And when you do that, my recommendation here is to stay on point with the ideas. You don't have to throw in there, and you know what? Who else did that? Adolf Hitler. That's right. The National Socialists did that, because then all of a sudden they turn you off. The communists have been smart enough to rebrand themselves. Liberals, progressives, social justice warriors are constantly rebranding themselves. They realize one brand becomes tainted. They keep the same ideas, though, don't they? They keep the same ideas. They just rebrand themselves. Nobody on the right seems to be able to figure that one out. They still want to sell the same brand that everybody has had, 70, 80 years of conditioning is bad. And we're suddenly going to overcome that now in the months ahead. Think about end results. Stick with the ideas. Stick with the ideas. The ship is sinking. And, you know, there's people saying it's going to be great when the ship sinks because then life, you know. Well, I don't see where we get from here to there. So we better figure out, you know, how we're going to keep all of ourselves afloat. Because everybody else in the country is screwed with this thing that's happening right now. That's where it's happening. It's coming down to screw everybody. It's not a good thing. You think it's a good thing? I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm disgusted with the corrupt clown system. And yep, but that's irrelevant because the system is collapsing. The system is going to collapse. You're not going to stop it if you tried. You're not going to encourage it if you try. It's going to happen. I've always said, it's like the car has already gone over the cliff. We're just waiting to see who crawls out of the wreckage once we hit the bottom. Stick with the ideas. It's what matters anyway. The end result is what matters, not what they call it. And these are real ideas. You have access to these real ideas. You've been looking at this stuff for years. You get it. Real ideas that affect people's day-to-day life that they can relate to as we're in this collapsing system. And so far, the only alternative they're being presented is communism. They know they don't want that. Give them some real ideas, like a justice system that is actually about justice, about laws being limited to, you know, straightforward to where people can understand them. Where justice is served equally by the system, not, oh, you're rich, so nothing happens to you. Where the guy who embezzles $4 million gets a slap on the wrist, and the guy who runs out of the convenience store without paying for a six-pack of beer goes and does hard time. True equality in the justice system. This is things people can get on board with. Ideas of justice, idea of accountability in those who are given the privilege, given the power to rule over them. These are ideas people will get on board with. People start thinking about that. People will not tune out as soon as you start speaking. People sit there and listen to you and go, man, that sounds good. I like that idea. Sounds good. Hell, I could go for that. That's the reaction you want. That's the reaction you want. Not get out of here, you raving lunatic. It's a serious time. It's time to be serious. We had fun doing, you know, trolls and lols years ago, but it's time to move tactics to another stage. We got to figure something out. Look, I'm not sitting here telling you I have the answers. I'm not pretending. I don't take it that way. Don't take it as I'm pretending I have the answer. I don't. If I had the answers, I would be implementing them. I don't, but I'm telling you what I do know, what I do see. It's and doing everything we can, everything right. I don't know. We're so far behind. And like again, when I say we, I mean every normal person in the country doesn't want communism. We're all behind the eight ball here. This ball is rolling. I don't know if it can be stopped, but things can happen. Things can change. Unforeseen events can take place. We just have to struggle and strive to do what we can, to do the best we can. Gosh darn. Folks, we got to get out of this and get into our Christian specific message. It went way, 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 way long. Something to think about. Like I say, I know already offended large portion of the audience what I do. So yeah, those of you who aren't sticking around for it, you're probably already mad you didn't turn the show off. But those of you that are sticking around for the Christian specific message, get in here and fill those pews. You know what it is? It's time for our Christian specific message here. It's Church of the Lampshade. So as we get settled in here, if there's any of you left, I may just be talking to myself at this point. But if there's two of you left, we'll sit down here and discuss this thing. I want to talk, the show has been kind of a downer, honestly, I guess. It wasn't my intention for it to be so. It just kind of, these shows, when we do them, just take on a life of their own. I don't really, we just roll with the discussion. It takes us where it goes. Now, you don't have show notes like you would, like most people do. Most hosts, they sit down there and they almost have like a script, and they know this is what we're discussing. We're going to cover this point. We're going to cover this point. Then I'm going to talk about this, and then I'm going to get into this thought. And this, I don't do that. We just start and it goes where we go. And yeah, you know, it's kind of same with our sermons this week. And it's been kind of a downer of a show, I think. But we're going to talk about some things to be thankful for. Some things for you as a Christian believer, because this is our Christian-specific message, though everybody's always welcome to listen in. And I want you to consider, I guess if you had an overall tone, overall topic to think about here, is the blessing of being self-aware wheat. And one of the parables we beat to death, and we'll go ahead and read it again here, is the parable of the wheat and the tares. This is one of the great illustrative parables because, you know, of course, back then, so many of the parables were agriculture related because it was an agrarian society, and that's what people understood. You're talking to common people, you want to give them illustrations that they understand. And so you have all these agriculture, these agrarian based parables because it made sense to people. Now we live in, people have been urbanized and pushed into cities in our quote unquote modern era. You know, a lot of these things don't necessarily make sense to them. But we're all aware of the parable of the wheat and the tares. So we're going to hit a couple. We're going to go ahead and cover that real quick and go ahead and read another little illustration that Jesus gave here. And then we'll get into how you are blessed in being self-aware wheat and what that means. So looking at Matthew 13, we're just going to do verses 24 and 25, because it gets the point. It goes further than that. But again, we've covered this parable multiple times, so I don't, you know, you can continue reading it on your own if you want to. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now let's skip over, staying in Matthew 13, but we're going to skip back here to verse 3. We're going to do 3 through 9. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower. Once again, an agricultural and agrarian illustration for the people. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell unto good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Of course, you come away from this, if you're a Christian believer, yes, I'm one of the wheat. I'm one of the wheat. It's tough being wheat. This field full of tares, full of weeds. But it is a blessing to be self-aware wheat. And what you have to realize is there's wheat that's been sowed out there that doesn't even realize that it's wheat yet. And the enemy in these trying times, one of their efforts is to choke them out before they can ever take root, before they can become self-aware that they are of God. They came from God. Now you have the modern cuck churches running around saying all of the green in the field is planted by God, which is obviously when you look at the scriptures, that's bullshit. You know, there's a whole bunch of weeds. Seems like more weeds every single day. Then you have wheat that thinks that they want to be a weed. They say, well, these weeds are what's all around me, and I want to fit in with the weeds. Now, then you have those, and this is worth those who are self-aware wheat, and they just decide, I'm going to become like the weeds because I'm surrounded by weeds and they're choking me out. They're choking me out, making my life hard. I will try to be like the weeds. I would just become a weed. Doesn't work. It's like that we were talking earlier about how people apologize for the truth. But if you apologize and renounce the truth to submit to the weeds, by extension, because Christ is truth, you are by extension renouncing Christ to become like the world in hopes that they won't choke you out, but they will because you're wheat. You were planted by God for his purpose. So you have self-determination. You have a will. You can choose, but woe unto you to willfully choose to renounce that you belong to God. It's always a choice. Whether it's from God or whether it's from Satan, it's always a choice. The devil doesn't make you do shit. He can tempt you. He can lie to you. He can make you sound, make it sound really good to make a certain move, to go a certain direction. But in the end, the choice is always yours. He can't physically force you to do anything. I mean, yeah, he'd have his minions like arrest you and drag you into prison and beat you to death, but... But that doesn't, he's got to make you choose to renounce. He's got to make you choose to not, to renounce, because to turn away from your salvation. Now, there's wheat out there that hadn't got around to figuring it out yet. They're just looking around at the world of green, and they think they're just a piece of green amongst all the other green. They don't get that there's tares, there's wheat, there's these different kinds of people. There's those who are of the devil, and there are those who are of God. They have no clue what the hell they are. When you're self-aware wheat, it's discouraging because you look and it's like there's nothing in this field but weeds, it seems like. But it's not true. There is other wheat out there. We live in a world dominated by tares. You know, you read this story, you picture, what was the percentage? And well, I guess it varies, in the illustration that Jesus used here, what was the percentage? Was there like mostly wheat and just a few tares mixed in? Was it about 50-50? You look around our world today and we're in a field of weeds. We're just like the volunteer, what they call in agriculture, what they call volunteer wheat. It's like, looks like no one actually even sowed it because it was just some seeds that fell over there in a weed field and sprung up on their own. That's what it looks like in this modern world. It's nothing but weed. It's a big weed field. Ain't nobody even looks like even cultivated. It's so such a poor standing of wheat. Satan is at war with God. And that war is largely, by and large, carried out against God's people, against the wheat. And choking out the wheat with the tares is a huge fundamental part of that war. And it gets trying because you're aware that the tares are trying to choke you out. You're aware that an enemy planted this. You're aware that you are in a spiritual battle that very much of it is manifested in the physical. All of these things you see happening, this is a part of it. This is what we were talking earlier. Look, the COVID stuff, the communism pushing stuff, they're not isolated from one another. They are very much a part of a larger plan. And that larger plan is also part of an even larger plan. This is a part of the work of the devil. This is a part of, you are caught up, whether you realize it or not. Maybe you're listening to this and you're wheat that has no clue that you're wheat. You just think everything in the field is green and you got no clue, and it doesn't matter. The war rages on whether you choose to be aware of it or not. This is a much larger thing than what most people realize. And when you're aware of it, you're at least in a better position because you at least have a clue. Because you have a better access to what weapons are available to you, what is truly powerful. Notice how the truth is scorned in this modern age. People lose their jobs. People will eventually be jailed. People will be jailed for speaking the truth. When you see one of these people attacked because of social media posts, even if it was like social media posts from years ago, this insert person, whether it's somebody of high prominence or somebody just some run-of-the-mill person, Look here, they posted something that is offensive today. Now they have to lose their job. They have to be persecuted. They have to go through trying times. Their families have to be troubled. They never ask if what the person said, the meme they posted, but they never bring up whether or not it's true. In all likelihood, the more true it is, the more persecution it is, isn't it? You notice the biggest persecution comes when people speak the truth. You know, if people speak a lie, there's no persecution for that. But the more truthful a statement is, the more persecution they face. The louder the noise. Because they don't want people considering, well, yeah, but what they said is true. They just want to demonize them. They want everybody to be afraid to even consider the possibility of that truth. And when you make truth the fundamental part of the battle, you realize that truth is a weapon. That truth is feared by the enemy. Because there's no truth in him. He's a liar, a murderer from the beginning. And his weeds, his tares that he plants are of him. They're going to be a reflection of him. They're liars, murderers. There's no truth in them. They're weeds. I hate the notion that the modern church puts out that Jesus can turn these tares into wheat. No, he says clearly they're tares. They're destined for the fire. I didn't plant them. They're tares. They're going to be gathered up like thistle and burned in the fire. That's all they're good for. They're not of me. They're not mine. Why would I harvest tares? I'm here for the wheat. The thing is, when you're wheat, and you're self-aware wheat, it's hard being in a world where you're constantly under pressure on some form or another. Sometimes it's in your face. Sometimes you might be persecuted for speaking the truth. But you're always being choked out, attempted being choked out by the tares. You cannot drive down the highway minding your own business in your car. I see people say, well, I don't watch TV that way. Well, that's good, I guess. I mean, yeah, you minimize the amount of choking you can. But if you're in your car driving down the highway, I guarantee you at some point you're going to see a billboard that's using degenerate imagery. It's going to be in your face. It's an attempt to choke you. You can't avoid it. We're in a world that we're in a field full of tares. And it is constant effort for the same thing. What? You ever wonder, why do people that don't believe in any of this stuff, how come they never notice that the direction is always one way, to drag society, to drag the world further into degeneracy, to further into rebellion against God? If these things just happen to be what happens happening, people just are here because they started from single cell organisms, blah, 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 blah. There's no creator. There's no God. Then wouldn't it stand to reason that people would also randomly like tend towards a better society? The tendency would sometimes be towards the betterment of mankind. But the direction is always, the pull is always towards what? More wickedness, more degeneracy, a breaking down of society, a breaking down of bonds. It is always a pull towards the lower. It is always the fist trying to drag you down to hell and struggling against that. It is always the tares trying to choke out the wheat. It's never the wheat choking out the tares. It's always the tares attempting to choke out the wheat. It's always a push in the negative direction. For that matter, why is it negative if there is no God? But it just, what's so wrong with just rocking along, plunging into the degeneracy? Let's do more of it. Why not? There's no right and wrong, because there's no ultimate arbitrator of that. Just you. Let every man decide for himself what is right or wrong. That is what society tells us. That is the lie that Satan tells us. And you understand this when you're self-aware wheat. But woe unto the wheat that doesn't realize it, because they're in a woeful position. At least as self-aware wheat, you understand it. When these things happen to you, and they happen to you, you understand why they're happening. You don't like it. It doesn't make it any more pleasant, but you at least understand it. But for the wheat that is not self-aware, this thing is all confusing. Why is the world trying to choke me out? Why is my very, in fact, some wheat will even like root themselves up. They're off themselves because I can't deal with it anymore. The world keeps trying to choke me out. I'm tired of dealing with it. I don't understand why it's happening. No matter what I do, each and every day, my life gets more choked out. I don't understand. It's because you're weak. They're going to hate you. Doesn't matter if you renounce the truth either. I mean, yes, that's what they want you to do. They want you to renounce the truth. They want you to be sure you turn away from Christ. They want you to mimic them all you want, but they're still going to choke you out because you're not them. You are not them. You are not a weed. God planted you. Now, you might choose to just live the life of a weed and ultimately go to the fire along with the weeds. It's your self-awareness, your choice. But it won't stop the weeds from hating you and constantly trying to choke you out. They will hate you no matter what. If you plunge yourself off into the greatest degeneracy, I'm going full weed. All the green of the field's green no matter what. If I'm a weed, I won't be constantly choked out, although you will. I'm going to go full weed. I'm going to plunge myself off into utter degeneracy. I will be full weed. I'm going to be the biggest weed out of all the weed. And then as you do that and you take those actions and you live that way and you live that degenerate lifestyle, you do all of the things that the weeds say they want you to do that makes you a good weed so they won't choke you out. And they still, in the end, are choking you because they hate you because you're not them. It's kind of like one of the most, you know, revolting things is white people that go around, yo, dog, homie, what's up, you know? Yeah. White people that try to act black, everybody hates them. Fellow white people hate them. Blacks hate them. Why would blacks hate them? Why is it like what is copying, you know, like the biggest form of flattery or whatever? But they don't. Why? Because they're not them. You have some white guy going up with his cap sideways. Yo, dog, homie, what's up? And blacks are like, want to kick the shit out of them because they're not them. Why are you trying to act like us? You're not us. Disgusting. It's not a compliment. It's kind of like that. You can act like the weeds all you want to. But deep down, it's not a conscious thing. They will hate you because deep down on a spiritual level, and they themselves probably aren't even self-aware that they're weeds. If they were, they'd be in a panic because they know they're headed to the fire. But on a deep down spiritual level, they hate you because you're not them. It's something that's recognized not on a conscious level, on a spiritual level. Their spirit says, he's not one of us. He's a wheat. He's a wheat. Even though he's acting like us, he's mimicking us, he's doing all the same degenerate shit as us, it's not us. Choke him out. They don't even understand why they're doing it. It's an instinct to choke you out because you're not them. And probably somewhere deep down in your spirit, there's a voice that's screaming at you. And you wake up first thing in the morning or when you lay your head down, go to sleep at night, that voice deep down inside that's screaming at you. You've tried to muffle it out. You've tried to drown it out. You've tried to drug it out. Tried to bury it, but there's still that voice, that muffled voice asking you, what the hell are you doing? It's your own spirit of wheat, your own kernel of wheat that's in there is crying, what the hell are you doing? Why are you doing all of this? Why are you acting like the weeds, dude? What are you doing? I don't want to hear that. Be just like these weeds, man. I'm a weed. I'm going to live my life as a weed. Your spirit cries out, what the hell are you doing? Killing us. You're killing yourself. And for what? The weeds are still choking you out. Now your life is shit. Now you've destroyed yourself spiritually. You're destroying yourself physically. You're destroying yourself mentally. You didn't get better. Your life wasn't better living like a weed. And you're still being choked out. What you need to keep in mind, when you get discouraged, and we all get discouraged, believe me, you may think the Reverend Lampshade doesn't get discouraged, and we all get discouraged. And it might seem like, why am I constantly being like the world trying to choke me out? And even though you're self-aware, wheat, you know, and you understand that you're of God, you're not of the world, so of course the world's going to hate you, all that, it still, it becomes frustrating. It can become just burdensome. Bear in mind, you know, you might even be tempted. I guess what I want to say is you might even be tempted to question, is this even worth it? I mean, you tell yourself, yeah, you believe in the kingdom of God, and it's all going to be good. But still, you might wonder, is this even worth it? If I wasn't, here comes that lie. If I didn't believe in the truth, if I didn't believe these things, then I wouldn't be choked out. But you see, it is a lie. It might seem like the reason you're being choked out is because you're self-aware that you're wheat. You're self-aware that you belong to the Lord, that you were bought at a high price, at a high, terrible price. It might be tempting to think that that is why you constantly feel choked out by the world around you. But you, even if you weren't aware of those things, see, the awareness is irrelevant. The awareness is just understanding the why. But the truth is, you would be choked out regardless, whether you're self-aware or not. The tares are always going to try to choke out the wheat. Take heart. You've got the, they can't win. They have to make you choose. You have that power. So it's all about getting you to choose to turn away. It's all about getting you to choose to renounce the truth, to turn away from truth, to renounce Christ, to turn away from Christ. It's not about them wanting to like you. It's not about, oh, if you take up weed ways, they'll suddenly like, they'll still choke you. But you ultimately, they have to do that because ultimately it is your power. I mean, they can try to choke you all around, but if you are of God, you have the ultimate power. As long as you do not yield, as long as you do not give up, as long as you do not renounce or turn from the power of Christ, they can only pressure you from the outside. As the scripture says, fear not them that after the most they can do is kill you. Fear not them that can kill you and after that can do nothing more to you, but instead fear him that after you die, cast your soul into hell for eternity. You have the power. They put all of this pressure on you, and all of this world puts all of this pressure and tries to choke you out. But ultimately, the power is yours. And that's the one thing they don't want you to be aware of. That's the one thing they don't want you to realize. They want you to feel powerless. You're surrounded by weeds. You're surrounded by tares. You're going to be choked out. And though the wheat will ultimately wither, in the end, what is in the field is either harvested or burned in the fire. We got to wrap up on that note. Went way long. Imagine that. Went way long. Hopefully a very thought-provoking show. Things for you to consider. I'll try my best. Maybe we can talk about something besides what's happening in the world. No, well, there's no way around it. Anyway, we'll be back next week. We'll think of some more things to talk about. Maybe something fresh. Maybe we'll find something a little more upbeat to discuss. I don't know. But anyway, we got to wrap up on that note. One more thank you for those financially supporting the show. Again, if you want to be a part of that, the information's at the bottom of the page here. And don't forget, you can catch me on Fridays, Sven Longshanks, for the Friday installment of the Daily Nationalist, or as I like to call it, Clown World in Review. Hasn't been very lulzy lately. It's kind of like everything else. It's all commies, COVID, but we do our best. We do our best to make it as lighthearted as possible. We try to end the week on a lighthearted note. But anyway, you can catch us then as well. And of course, you can catch us back here on next Tuesday for the Church of the Lampshade.